I was on the plane, and I sat across the aisle from a brother that was my age, and he was reading the John MacArthur Study Bible. And I go, oh, wow, you're reading that the Bible. It's like so good. And we started talking, and he said to me, we all need people in our lives that help us. We all need good men and women in our lives that help us in our life. And I said, you know, yes, and we had a talk about it. So I kind of took what he said and developed a little bit. He said a lot of this that I'm going to share with you. And I think it might help you. So I don't know if we got that. We have that slide. Did that work, Karen? Do we know? Okay, Acts 27. Good. We got it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. This is a preface point for our message on people in our lives and the people in our lives that we need. So Acts 27 is about sailing, actually. If you're a sailor and you know how the wind goes and how a ship moves, then you can have a feeling for the chapter. You can actually feel it, you know, like because you've been in those situations where the wind took you and you tried to go up into the wind, you know, little sailing diagram here. If the wind is coming from this direction, you can sail this way, this way, this way, this way, you know, in every direction except this way into the wind. You can't sail into the wind. So they are in a storm, and they would like to go that way, but they can't. So and it's very strong, and they're losing their capability. Moment by moment, day by hour, day by day, they're losing their capability. And this is a good example of how life can be. So let's have a prayer right now. Lord, we care about our brothers and sisters. They are in great storms. And those here who have been or will be, all of us will be in some great storm, probably. We hope not, but it happens. Use this to minister to us and our whole day today, that it would be rich in thought and words, love and faith. Amen. So let's see, go to the next. If you look at chapter 27, we have the story, and I want to start with verse 13. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, along to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land. So I always like that verse there, 13, where they were supposing, because there was a gentle wind. And that's like I suppose, because the investments were ripe, and I put my money in, and I supposed. Or I fell in love with that woman and I supposed we would live happily ever after. Or I had that business opportunity and the wind was gently blowing and everything looked good and I supposed we could go for it. Right? We all have a story like that. We grew up in a family and everything was perfect, kind of the gentle wind, and we supposed how it would go. But then go to the next slide. They could not face the wind. I broke this down. You can read the text, but instead of reading it, I just pulled out these pieces. They could not face the wind. Next one. They gave way to it. That's when you're trying to go into it, but you just can't. You just can't. So you give way to it, and the wind is going to take you where you don't want to go. And it'll take you very fast where you don't want to go. It happens. I didn't want to go, but I had to yield to it. The force was too great. I had to give in. We had to let her drive. The ship was driven, and we gave way to it. Next one. We're driven along, fast. Fast. I mean, any of you are sailors, you know what I'm talking about, anybody? Yeah, John, you are. Yeah, okay, you know how it is. Okay, verse 4. Point number 4. We managed with difficulty. Next one. They use supports. They're really struggling to keep the ship. They're afraid of, where this is going to go. Next one. They were fearing. Next one. Lowered the gear. Next one. Were driven along. Next one. Violently storm-tossed. Next one. Jettisoned the cargo. We got rid of all the heavy. The wheat went in the water. Cargo went in the water. Next one. Threw the ship's tackle overboard. They're desperate now. Next one. Neither sun nor stars. They cannot navigate. It's really bad. Next one. No small tempest. Next one. All hope abandoned. Whoa. I think that's all. Is there another one? I think that's it. Have you ever been there? Collapsed on the floor, sobbing. The news you heard. The hospital called. The police are at the door. Have you been there? Uncontrollable, absolute collapse. A huge storm. Horrible. We supposed it wouldn't be this way, but this is what happened. Now, in the story, just simply, you have the ship and the condition of the ship and the sailors and the owner. The owner is involved. The owner is there. The centurion, the soldier, probably the Roman Empire rented the boat they had cargo. They had wheat on it. They had cargo. They had the owner. And this military is using it to transport prisoners. 276 people on the boat. That's quite a bit. Pretty good, big boat and very substantial. And the whole thing is going upside down. They might be lost. Okay. But there's another element in the story, and that is Paul. Paul is there. And I want to say something about this story that maybe is the main point. It's not over. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. God wants to help you. God is with you. Stay in the game. Even if the ship is lost, you stay in the game. You're a believer, and you stay in it. We just saw a video of people, very sadly, losing everything. And we pray for them to stay in the game. And I have five people from that flight to Florida that I took with that brother across the aisle as we had fellowship, because we're the same. We believe the same. He also does mission work around the world. He also is a Bible teacher. And we had a good talk, and so I want to share this with you. The first person that I need is somebody over me. So let's draw it this way. Here's you and me. I need somebody over me in the Lord. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 and 13. Know them that are over you in the Lord. Do you have somebody over you in the Lord? There are many Christians that don't have somebody over them in the Lord. But in the story, I need Paul on the boat. When the centurion is there and they have to make decisions, he ends up being submitted to Paul, because God has anointed Paul in the story. And I think it's a parallel for us in our lives. Why is that story written in the Bible? But it's for us. Because you and I one day will collapse. We aren't that strong. We are fragile. We have our problems, and there are things that take over. And we are really hurting. And sometimes our sisters and brothers are hurting a lot. I need somebody over me in the Lord to help me with the Bible. That's why we have pastor teachers. I need somebody over me in the Lord that can give me a word, who cares about me. That they can be somebody, it could be a godly man or godly woman in your life that will help you. Maybe you go to them in a crisis, or you go to them for encouragement. We have the pulpit ordained of God for that. But then also we have others that we have a lot of love and respect for, that we can go to for help, for encouragement, for quietness, for stability, for prayer. People that are over us in the Lord. You know, could we put that verse up, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13? And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. To know them which labor among you and are over you. Do you know them? You know, to know them. You know, I've been listening to, like, many of us were pastored by Pastor Stevens through the years, and I learned so much from him, and then other men of God, and other women of God, and I continue in that, though he is past and is with the Lord today, praise God, in 2008, and then... And it wasn't always easy at the latter part of his life because of sickness and dementia and those things. But that's fine. I had no problem with that. We had difficulties in that period of time. But for 36 years, I learned the Bible from him. I learned how to walk by faith. I learned to be trusting. I got comforted sitting in this room, helping me in my spiritual journey. So we need that. And that continues today for me, even though he isn't here. But I have him, I have the history, I have the teaching, and then I have other people too that I look to for help and encouragement. The second person is 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul is writing to Timothy. So this is Timothy, we could say, and he is discipling somebody. So you disciple somebody. you and I need somebody that we can pour into. We need somebody that I could help. You might say, well, I'm not so educated. Yeah, but your heart, your spirit, your knowledge is valuable. Maybe to your niece or your nephew or your neighbor or a friend or somebody that you can help them in their faith. You say, yeah, but I'm not a pastor. You don't need to be, but you need somebody to pour care about. We care about somebody. So this is 2 Timothy 2:1. Yet you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men and women, you can say it's the meaning of it, who are able to teach others also. So they do the same thing. You pour into them and then they share it. You know, even a family has this. There's somebody in your family that's going to minister to another family member, and that family member is going to minister to someone else. All right, so we have one relationship here that I need, and then two. And then the third one is Barnabas. Barnabas in the Bible is the encourager. Barnabas in the Bible who said, in Antioch, they needed a teacher. Barnabas had heard about Paul, who was up in Tarsus in Turkey, and Barnabas went up to Paul and invited him to Antioch. And basically, we don't know what he said, but we can imagine Barnabas went there and said, "Paul, we need you. Yeah, come to Antioch. Come to the church in Antioch." Come, we need you. Barnabas is somebody who can reach out, and Barnabas can reach out to you. And Barnabas is somebody who has faith in you. Somebody said that recently. They said to me, you know, you believed in me more than I believed in myself. You believed in me more than I believed in myself. I didn't believe myself. I didn't believe I was very good. I didn't believe I could do this or that. I didn't believe that. But Barnabas does believe that about Paul. Yes, Paul, you could come and be with us at the church in Antioch. Barnabas is needed. When the ship is going down, I need a Barnabas on board. Or when I'm broken, collapsed, I'm struggling, even leaving the church for a couple of years, that I have seen that happen in our history as a pastor. I've seen people, one woman in another country where I was living, because I don't like to leave you trying to figure it out, who is he talking about? But this woman was gone 8 years, and she came back. And she was so precious, it meant a lot to me. Yes, yes, people can go away, but they can also come back. And they need these people around them. I can't be left alone. You notice how, when you're left alone, how the thoughts go and how attitudes develop. And then I'm living in them, and I'm like, you know, like, that's, I think, sometimes how Pastor Schiavelli talks about retired people. And I think that's what we're all for retirement, especially if you don't have a good job. Please pray for retirement. Tony Pallotta is retired and living as a missionary in Albania. But I think he also, what he means, and he can speak for himself, but how I think about it is, if one day I retire, I want these five people around me, because they will help me from getting selfish, petty, concentrate on the wrong thing. On the wrong thing. Justin told a story yesterday. And he said, you know, he was in Florida playing golf one time, and he went into a grocery store, and there was a little man, an older man, shuffling down, and he was complaining about the cheese. You know, he wanted the cheese to be a certain way, and Justin said, like, he saw the whole scenario, and he goes, oh my, that's me. That's me. That gentleman is like just shuffling down the. He's 75 or whatever, and his world is so small, and the cheese has become such a big deal, and he just is complaining about it and arguing with the person behind the counter, and Justin goes, oh no. Oh no, that's me, yeah. So these people in your life help you. These people in our lives are on board the ship, so to speak. They're on the ship so that when the ship is gone and we are floating on pieces of wreckage up on the beach, and what does it say? About this in the story. Everybody was saved, not one was lost. Everybody was floating, everybody landed on the beach. And yeah, it means to me that I might lose the ship, but I've got God, and God is with us, and it's not over. Stay in the game, because there's something there for you and I. And our life will be over one day, but not now. It's not over now. It's a time to be sure that I'm connected, because I can get healed. I can be restored. And I will have this as a memory that, yes, it was very, very bad and very dark. I couldn't even talk about it for a year or 2 years. It was so heart-wrenching and devastated. But I stayed in the game, and I had these people in my life. Let's go to the next one. This is number 3. Next one is Abigail. Abigail was in David's life to stop him from doing something stupid. 1 Samuel 25. Do you remember the story? I'm sorry, man, we're not turning there, but... The story is that David was going to go kill somebody, and Abigail went out, and he didn't even know who she was. He did not know who this woman was. But when she came, like, she said what he needed to hear, and he recognized it, and he heard her. Now, that means to me that God could send somebody into my life, maybe a nurse, a doctor, maybe a teacher, maybe a child. Maybe somebody could be sent into my life to help me. Maybe it's on a podcast, or maybe it's something that's sent to me. Maybe it's something that I recognize that's from God. Abigail's from God. That God's not finished. God has a ministry to me. In my heart. And Abigail affected David, and he said, you are from God. I repent. I'm going back home with my little army, and we will see what God will do. I need that. Number 5, this is number 4, number 5 is Mephibosheth. 2nd, Mephibosheth. You know the story, Mephib. Oh, shit. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And this is 1 Corinthians 12. I need a weak person in my life. I need a weak person. Maybe it's verse 15. The uncomely, or those that are the less fortunate, those that are maybe somehow disabled or somebody that needs help, Mephibosheth, the weaker body member. I need that person in my life. It's a test for me in my heart. Do I despise them? Do I look down on them? Am I judgmental towards them? Am I saying I don't need you? Do I kick them to the curb? Do I ignore them, or are they in my life? You know, isn't that a good point? Like, when I am hurt, I'm in trouble, and I need God in my life. God sends people into my life to see where my heart is and to help me and minister to me. Here's the last point. I think we got it today. I think you understand what I'm trying to say. When it all collapses, you're alone. You feel alone. You stay alone. You withdraw from people. You start to develop attitudes about people. Every one of those five that I just listed there, you and I can say, I don't need them. Every one of them, I could say, I don't want them in my life, or I don't need them. Leave me alone. Let's just look at it here. Because the ship is destroyed. Why? I don't need the church. What, I don't need a leader over me? What, I'm not making any disciple? I don't need to do that. What, Barnabas, he doesn't really care about me? And on it goes. You can make up a narrative for all of them. But not you. Not you, because you have this story. And when Paul told them, nobody leave. Nobody leave. He said that on the ship. Nobody's leaving. And remember, the soldiers were going to take the little lifeboat and cut it loose, and they were getting in it. And Paul said, hold it, stop, everybody. Centurion, order those men not to get in the boat and cut the boat loose. And the centurion obeyed Paul. And he said, unless you do it, no, we will not be saved. So they cut the, there was no other option. There's no other option on that boat. There isn't any other way, but it's to be submitted to God and His plan. And I'm using that to say that if we could be submitted to God and His plan, we will survive. We will make it. We will survive. Hallelujah. We might lose a lot of tackle, wheat, discouragement, stars, sun. It's all dark. But we'll be okay. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. And have people in your life that are sent from God to help you so you can stay in the game. And you'll be okay. Might not always look so pretty, but that's how we're going to live our lives. We're going to find God in our life. And He puts somebody over me. He put somebody beside me. He sent somebody to encourage me. He sent somebody to correct me. That was Abigail and Nathan. Nathan is the other one that corrected in that number four. And then He sends somebody who is weak, who needs me. Mephibosheth needs my care, needs my mercy, needs my care for them. So that's it.